Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And I'm Michael Evans.
And what we do here at the Liars Club is we have one of our comedy pals come on. We ask them to tell two stories. One is a truth, one is a lie. We as a group pretend very hard to figure out which one is a lie. It's not really pretending, but we do try to figure out which one is the lie. Jessica, would you please introduce our guest?
I'd love to. He is a very hilarious, I added that, sorry, it's not an intro, very hilarious stand-up comedian. Was called by TBS one of the funniest comedians working today. He's host of the game show Idiot Test, which was on Netflix and Game Show Network, and now streaming on Game Show Central. Was one of the stars of Chelsea Lately on E! And is currently a host and contributor for TYT and Rebel HQ. He is critically acclaimed second-hour stand-up special, Ben Glebe, The Mad King. Just dropped on YouTube. And before we get to our game, let's take a look at a clip.
Pandemic, it's almost over, but maybe not. But it could be, but we don't know. There's a chance that it might be, or it might not be. It's over, but almost over, but not really, but it's still going strong. It's surging, but it's a weaker surge. It's a weaker surge, but affecting more. It's affecting more, but it's affecting them less. It's affecting less people in a more intense way and more people in a less intense way. It could be done, but it's not done. It's important to get vaccinated, but if you do, you also got to get boosted. Until the booster wears off, and you got to get another booster, in which case you might still get it. You probably will still get it. You'll definitely get it. But if you're not boosted, you're going to get it less or more. And then if you're not at all vaccinated, oh, you're going to get it, and it's going to be worse. So I'm glad 2 years in, we finally got a handle on it.
Damn, we just cut to a clip, didn't we? We haven't done that before.
Let's go to a clip.
You had that so smooth out in the green room, and then all of a sudden it went off.
Let's go to the clip.
Oh, my God.
Let's go to the clip.
All right.
This is natural.
Let's go to the clip.
Clip, go, let.
That is the winner, Ben. Let me ask you this question. Where did you film your stand-up special at?
At Helium in Philadelphia.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Oh,
it was
very
really
cool.
Fun. They're producing specials now. They created Helium Comedy Studios, and they're producing a lot of specials, and I was one of their first four.
Uh-huh.
And the first four was me, Jade Cotapreta, Alonzo Bowden, and Randy Feltface, who is a puppet.
Okay, I was like, Feltface.
I was with him.
Yep. And also, I'm not happy to say, the non-human special has a lot more views than mine.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Okay. Feltface has more views than Glebe.
The felt community, really.
Yeah. Now, Feltface came is a slur in that world.
It used to be okay to do Feltface.
Now it's not. We're going to get canceled.
Only if you're born felt can you do that.
So I have a question, and I've always wanted to ask you this. It's going to be a little weird.
Sure.
Okay. And
I like it. I'm excited now.
Yeah. About, I don't know, 10 years or something ago, you had a birthday party in Hollywood, and it was like not a secret club, but it was at a club that the public really doesn't get access to. Mm-hmm. And so I was there. I'm not going to say who it was with. I was invited by my friend whom you had invited. And we were standing like in this tent. Does this ring any bells, this party?
Yeah, it was a private party. I know what you're talking about.
Okay, and we were standing in the tent, and I was all like, I know Ben Glebe, and it's weird that I'm at his party when I, haven't really shaken his hand or anything in real life, but I know who he is. And then all of a sudden, fucking Prince shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was all like, who the
Holy
fuck is this
shit.
Ben Glebe?
Like,
what the fuck? Wow. And my friend, she was like, oh my God. She used your voice, right? I was like, oh my God, it's Prince. And she tried to touch him. And, I don't like that kind of display of emotion, So I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, my world got topsy-turvy. Now, did Prince go to your party? Or was it just two parties collided? That's always what I wanted to ask you. That
way to take one of my two stories for today.
No,
I'm kidding. You didn't.
Okay.
Wow, close call.
Yeah, people bring this up to me all the time. It's amazing how it's been 10 years since then, at least.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And
every month or so, someone says to me, I was at your birthday party and Prince was there. Oh, my God. And it was a private party just for my friends. And the thing with Prince is that we used to be good buddies growing up. And we hadn't talked for a long time.
How were you good buddies growing up? You grew up in the same neighborhood?
Saved his life in the war, and that's a lie. we were like not friends at all. And it made me look as cool as possible when my buddy hooked me up with the venue for the party and said it could be a private party. He said, we just need to let our super VIPs in if anybody shows up. And I said, of course, that's fine. And in the middle of my birthday party, everybody knew it was a private party. I'd texted people saying, private party, it's closed just for my friends. Prince showed up with his entourage, and everyone thought he was my friend. He, in fact, walked right by me. I was very not sober and was in the middle of his entourage, and I almost, like, peeked in and said, hey, Prince, this is my birthday party. Thank you for coming. And I said, fuck it. Just let him walk in. And I just let him walk in and sit at a booth, and I never even said hello to him.
Wow.
Never met him, technically. He just walked by me at my party, and everybody thinks that I'm friends with Prince. And now it's ruined. And that's ruined.
But aren't you glad you didn't go, Prince, you're at my party? Yeah. Like, aren't you glad?
In retrospect, it's cooler that I never even said hi to him.
Yeah, because you became legendary over that fact. Because I tell people all the time, I was weirdly at Ben Glebe's party. Fucking Prince showed up. Like, what the how did he do that?
Plus, if I had gone up to him, good chance he would have had me thrown out of my own party. Yeah. That would not have happened. Yeah. Why won't you say who you were there with? Are you not friends with that person anymore?
No, I just didn't want her to know that I kind of made fun of the part of, like, oh my God, it's Prince!
She'll get over that. Who was it?
Yeah, I'll tell you off.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not such an insult. I don't know if you...
Yeah,
she must act.
I mean, it's
well.
Fucking
in the range
Prince.
Of insult.
Right, but people that usually are like, they don't want that to...
She was in felt face,
drawn.
Too.
Yeah, sure.
No.
Well, I think you get a pass if it's fucking Prince.
Yep,
you
true.
Get a pass. You know?
I don't know. I could still contain. I mean, inside I was explosive, but on the outside I was trying to be chill. You know.
Yeah, he hung out all night. It was pretty fun.
Okay, well, that's an awesome story. I always wanted to ask you that. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And Michael is going to jot down your story, and then after you do the story, we're going to do a recap, he will, of the story.
Great.
And then we're going to ask a million questions. And so why don't you start with your first story?
Should I start with the lie or the truth one?
Well, that's up to you. Just don't give us any. No, because we're going to guess which one is the lie.
I know,
so,
that was a joke.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
It's okay. I'm going to tell you which one it is in advance.
Okay.
Does that ruin the podcast?
By the way, I would pick the wrong one anyway because I never win this game.
All right, so both stories are going to be about crazy experiences I had touring, opening for bigger comedians.
Okay.
So the first story is... I was touring in 2010. Dane Cook asked me to open for him on his Dane Cook Live tour.
Okay.
And so I was opening for him every night for 6 weeks, touring around North America on a tour bus in arenas.
Yeah, that was when he was, that was huge, the explosion of.
It was insane. It was in the round every show.
Yeah. And his special.
2010.
I would have guessed so, yeah, because his special he did in the round.
I mean, he'd been doing arenas. He probably was doing arenas from like 2006 to 2012 or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. 2011 or something. So I caught the tail end of that. And it was an amazing experience, really fun. But this one particular show was wild. A lot of things went strange. So we were in Toronto, and we were playing this night the Air Canada Center, which is this like legendary venue in Toronto. Have you ever been there?
I haven't been there, but I know.
Yeah. Are you from Canada?
I'm not. I'm just...
just looks like he is.
You do look very Canadian. You really do.
Sorry.
And so every night, there was a couple other openers too. It was J. Chris Newberg, Al Del Benny, and myself. I was in the middle of the openers. And so I only had to do 15 minutes each night. So I get up to do my 15 minutes, and it goes great. You know, I'm very good. So that's not the issue.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, Prince liked you.
That's correct.
Yes. Yeah.
Dear close personal friend, Prince.
Yes.
And so do my set. It's great. And then Al goes up and kills it. And then Dane goes up, and he's killing it. And like 15 minutes into Dane's set, the power goes out in the arena.
Uh-huh.
Everybody panic?
People didn't panic, but they were like, what the F? It's dark as can be. And so pretty quickly, Dane is kind of struggling up there because he doesn't get off stage.
Because he's in the round.
He's in the round.
He's not like at a regular stage.
Correct.
Where
you can't just go backstage and check. You're surrounded by everybody.
Yeah.
And so it's dark, and he's just kind of, and the mic cut out when it happened as well.
Uh-huh.
Now, after a few minutes, the mic, the backup mic power kicked back in. But for a few minutes, he had no mic. During the few minutes with no mic, he's struggling. He doesn't really know what to do. He's like trying to shout to the people, but like it's not really working. And improv is, he's a brilliant comedian, but improv is not his best thing. And so at the time, he was one of my best friends. And so I just decided to try to go and help him. And I walked on stage and I said, hey, I'm going to riff with you and try to get this back. And I just start shouting to people in the crowd. I grabbed a mic, but it wasn't working. He's shouting at the crowd. We're trying to entertain them. And Dane is like, Glebe, just take it. I'm going to go and get the fuck off the stage. So he walks off and I take it and I'm trying to entertain an arena in the dark without a microphone. The mic comes back on a couple minutes after I'm on and that made it a lot easier, but we're still in the darkness. So then I thought I'm going to have the people in the audience take their cell phones out and use their lights so we can at least have some light.
Right.
And that was a very cool sight. It was like that song, that like Rihanna song or whatever, but all the lights you see. And, but still it's not lit. And it's weird. And so I'm trying to entertain this crowd. And I said something like, here's what I said. I said, listen, I'm sorry we couldn't keep the bills on the tickets. We're not expensive enough. So if any of you in the audience can reach deep and tip, that would be really helpful. And people start throwing Canadian loony coins onto the stage. So I'm in the darkness and there's just the sound of like rain of coins. People are throwing $1 and $2 coins onto the stage.
Uh-huh.
I'm seeing like in my immediate area where I can kind of see lots of coins. I'm getting hit like on the side. Nothing hit me in the head, thank God. And it seems like a ton of coins. And so I, in this moment, decide to say something very stupid. And I say, wow, you guys are just so generous and you're dealing with all this. I'm going to, whoever wants after the show, early in the day, I went to an ice cream shop that was nearby and I knew they were open late and I love ice cream. And so, excuse me. So I said, whoever wants to come after the show, meet me at this ice cream shop. I'll buy ice cream for whoever comes. One scoop ice cream for whoever comes.
That doesn't seem like a smart idea.
No, it was not smart. I was desperate at the time and I had been doing this thing kind of inspired by Andy Kaufman where occasionally in my small shows, small clubs, I would, in the middle of my show, just buy the crowd beer or ice cream and do an intermission and hang with them. And so I said that. And I said that thinking two things. One, no one's going to really take me up on it. Very few people will. B, whoever, one and B, whoever does take me up on it, I'm sure Dane will cover it because I'm trying to fill time here at his show. And he's making major bank doing this gig and I'm not making major bank. And so I say that, and the show, then all of a sudden the lights come back on eventually. I don't know if the main power came back on or they had a backup generator or something, but the lights come back on, everybody applauds, everything's good, and I remind them, like an idiot at the end of the set, that remember, at the ice cream shop down the road, whatever it was called, ice cream on me if you come meet me afterwards. And the show ends, Dane gets off stage, we're doing our little post-show meet and greet, and I said to Dane, like, about the ice cream thing, like I'm sure not that many people are showing up, but would you possibly be down with covering the cost of whatever comes up? And he says, hell no, I'm not covering it. He says, you came on stage, I didn't even ask you to come on stage. He was pretty pissed at me. And so I'm like, okay, no problem, it's all good. And I was going to say, I did like quick math and I figured like not a lot of people are going to come. Maybe my show, my pay for this one show will be eaten up, whatever. And I show up at the ice cream shop and 1,600 people from the 12,000 people show up. I know that number because we bought out the entire ice cream shop, one scoop per person. They had like 500 or so scoops left. And then they were out of ice cream, and people still want ice cream, and I wanted to make good on it. And so I know that they have those, at markets, they have those bags with like those little Sunday cups that are like a quarter, 50 cents each or whatever, and a bunch in a big bag. And we asked one of the tour coordinators to go to the market and get all the bags they had. They had to go to several markets and came back, and it cost me $2,200 to buy ice cream for the people that showed up.
Let me ask you this, though, Ben. Like, so I get the 1,600 people show up, right?
Yeah.
And then, but then you were like, you know what? I'm just going to take an even bigger bullet. I'm going to pay for now extra ice cream to be brought in when the escape valve is, oh, you ran out of ice cream. So, yeah.
You want to know why I did that?
Why?
because I just have this stupid thing in my mind where I like to just do these like kind of epic big things. Uh-huh. And I love to be, even though it is really never, except I guess maybe today it kind of came back with the print story, uh-huh. even though I didn't organize that one. But I just like to do things that are like going to be talked about, that people one day be like, I saw him at this place and he bought us ice cream after a show. Okay. I just like that. Okay. And I didn't want to let down the vast majority of people that came that I promised to do ice cream. I still maybe thought in my head Dane would think it was cool at the end and would pay me back. I did not get the money back for that. But I made a lot of money on the tour, so it was just a fraction of it. But another twist to that story, too, that night, I ended up meeting who became my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we dated for...
Did you buy her ice cream?
I bought her ice cream. That's how we met.
Are you serious?
That's how we met.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she was only one of the ones that got the Sunday cup, too. So the Sunday cup paid off as well.
She's one of those first 500. Nice,
what's that?
One of those first 500.
No, she was after.
She was one of the wooden stick...
Correct.
School cups.
Correct.
Got it.
He appreciated how I stuck to doing the extra mile for everybody. And we ended up dating for like, I don't know, about a year or so. And we're still in touch. She's awesome. And that's that story.
All right. And that was the Bro 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 Tour.
Yes, it was.
I had that in my head for so long, but I was...
Wow.
God. I don't... This is a hard one because I feel like you are a nice guy.
Thank
and you,
you
would definitely do something like this.
Thank you.
He does like stunts like that too. He's run for president.
That was not a stunt, but sure.
I mean, okay. I mean, it's he likes. I don't know. Yeah, it feels like you smell bullshit all over this.
And
I
was just like,
this motherfucker lies to everyone, full on, giving me eye contact, not blinking, mouth shut.
Well, you also have a very skeptical look on your face.
I know.
Very skeptical. Like,
yeah, you went and got more cups of ice cream, and then all of a sudden, that's how you met a lady.
I guess your move would be to disappoint your fans. That's nice. Just let the masses down.
Why wouldn't they have? They would have a backup generator on pretty fast. I would think in a place like that. I feel like they'd have to with that many people. There's so many safety regulations.
That's a good point. Let me ask you this: so when the lights went off, when the electricity went off,
yep.
were there any lights on at all?
A little bit, but it was very dark. It was not stage lights. It was not show lights. There was like rafter lights. There was in the underground. In the escape areas in the round,
uh-huh.
there's, you know, like the four spots, okay. you can see some lights there. But there was not lights in the arena for like a solid, uh-huh. I don't remember how long, maybe
and
15
with
minutes.
The audience is that big, I don't know, but they don't take their cell phones. I just know that he seems like he'd be that kind of guy that'd be like, oh, no,
this was
photos.
This was before
yeah,
anybody
this is
took cell
2010,
phones.
Yeah.
2010,
yeah. You know what I
Chappelle
remember?
Started doing that in
cell
like...
Cell phones, yeah?
They did,
yeah.
no. Chappelle started taking them maybe like... 2017
yeah.
or something.
Yeah,
started.
This is
it wasn't even on smartphones 2010.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, like even I even thought about that when he said like had him light up the stage with the. I was like, that wasn't even really in the day when everybody would just swipe down in flashlights right there for everybody.
Right.
That was like everyone still got a different shaped phone.
Mm-hmm.
So, know? But he said he had everyone do the flash on their phone. Like a lot of people didn't have that, is what you're saying.
So I'm thinking maybe, or at least it wasn't like consistent yet. You know, we all have a basically like a rectangle shape that's got a flashlight on it.
Yeah, no, but every phone had flashlights since way before 2010.
Okay.
Mm. I mean, I don't know about every phone. Maybe not flip phones didn't, but most people did have smartphones then.
I would have been with you if you were just like, no, I just told him to open it up and have the screen lit, you know, so we could... But you're sticking with the flashlight.
No, I don't think I told him flashlight even. I think I said, pull out your phones. Let's get some light.
Okay, that's reasonable. It's also a slick lie. It's also a perfect lie. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking, whenever I think about... first of all, I do think that was around the appropriate time that you're referencing because I do remember that special. And you know what's a weird thing I remember about that special because it was in the round? Is that... And I don't mean it like mean, but Dane's little tell on stage, I thought when I saw this special... He pulls his shirts down right here. It's a weird little tell.
It's a fat guy move. And he's
I do that a lot.
Yeah.
He's not fat. I'm fat. I do that a lot.
I'm not saying that, but I always thought that's
it
so
is.
Weird how he that's his little tell at that time in that special.
But the tell meaning what?
Meaning like...
A tell for what?
That he's nervous?
Just his...
An
yeah, you know,
kind
yeah, an insecurity of some sort. I always thought that was a weird the way he did. I always liked that because I'd never really seen someone on stage do that a lot. Mm. And then I was telling my boyfriend, and he was like, "What the fuck is wrong with you? And then literally, like yesterday, the day before, I saw a picture, a new picture of Dane, and he was on stage, and he was pulling his shirt down. And I was right there. I was like, see, I'm not an idiot. But I do remember it being in the round, and that was very cool that it was in the round. I was once opening for Joey Diaz, and the lights went off, and the sound went off. But there
that's
were,
a lie. That's a lie.
I did too. But they had lights for the fire department. You know what I mean? Safety lights did go on. That's why I was asking about if all the lights went off. But do you think they were safety lights that went off for the crowd itself?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it wasn't pitch dark. I was able to see the coins on the stage. I was able to, and I did pocket a lot of them. And by the way, it was not a lot of money.
In my head, it was
hundreds and hundreds of dollars that were going to subsidize it. It was like $47 at the end.
Oh, no. That's not even half the ice cream.
It was not a quarter of the ice cream.
Did you eat ice cream that night, too?
Of course.
Yeah.
I had like 3 scoops of ice cream.
Wow.
I love ice cream.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed. Obsessed.
That's a lie.
Okay. All right, any other questions?
Have you seen my stomach? My God.
Actually, yeah, you know were Harley Quinn a while back for Halloween.
It was
sexy.
My fiance and I were both Harley Quinn.
Yeah, it looked good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. I do a virtual show as I'm doing, when this airs, it'll be too late, but I do a virtual show every month called Glebe Off the Top, Crowd Work and Improvised Madness. And for my Halloween one last year, my fiance was very shy, came out on stage in our virtual studio dressed like Harley Quinn to greet the audience. And then I stepped out. I'm like, really? And I'm dressed exactly like she is in a Harley Quinn costume. And then we went out and partied all night as dual Harley Quinns.
Yeah.
It was the lesbian fantasy I never had.
Like, it really was full bore.
It was full bore.
Yeah, it was really, they looked good. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Well, let's move on to your second story.
I would like that. And also...
For the record, that felt sketchy to me too, man. I don't know why. I can't wait to hear the second one. Maybe that's just how he tells the story.
Yeah.
But I think he's spinning us a yarn there.
Okay.
And also, I might do another nice thing and buy air conditioning for this room.
Okay.
With some of those Looney Tunes. With some of those monies.
Some of those loonies, yeah.
Yeah, some of that
definitely
Dane Cook
not
money.
Canadian. Okay, great.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Are you opening that for air for us? Thank you. So the next story. The year was 2014. And I was on Chelsea Lately for a bunch of years, and Chelsea became one of my closest friends at that time. And she asked me to open for her on her theater and arena tour for just a few dates, not the whole tour like Dane did. And Dane did a tour bus, but Chelsea goes in style. She rents a private jet.
Mm.
And this one night on the private jet, heading to an arena in Philadelphia for a show, all kind of weird stuff happened this night. So we're on the airplane, and there's just like 6 people on the plane, and cockpit pilots up there, no cockpit door even. You can just
see. Who's all on the plane?
Chelsea, me, her makeup artist friend, somebody from Live Nation, her other like random friend who was like, her body man, basically, slash, like, hangout guy. He was a weird Dutch guy. Didn't speak the best English.
You're
called...
great with the details.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I think he just told you to fuck off.
Let's go to a clip.
Fuck, why would I say that again?
And we're on the plane, and as you may know, Chelsea loves to drink. Like, she under-talks it on the air, to be honest. She drinks a lot. Second, we get on the plane, heading to perform at an arena of people. And she pours herself a glass of vodka.
Damn.
A little bit of ice, glass of vodka, no mixer. Like a lemon on the rim to, like...
How big of a glass, though?
Like a cocktail glass, like that tall.
Yeah.
Isn't that what a martini is, basically? Just vodka?
Yeah. Basically, right.
So
yeah.
So big fat martini.
Big fat martini,
that makes
but in a normal
classier.
Glass because it's a plane, you know?
Uh-huh.
And you don't want like maybe a glass that would tip over or something.
Right,
right.
And so I match her. I'm just down to match her. I didn't drink the full thing. I filled mine up like maybe a third, but I'm drinking straight vodka.
Yeah, you
well.
Seem more like an ice cream guy, not the vodka guy.
Yeah, that had to feel good to fill it up this much compared to
pull my shirt down right now. And we're on the plane, we're getting pretty buzzed, and Chelsea turns to me and she says, and I guess maybe just to entertain the six people on the plane or whatever, she goes, Ben, why don't you go and see if the co-pilot will suck your dick?
Was it a woman?
It was not a woman. Hmm. And so I said, I'm good. Thank you so much. And she goes, come on. It'll be funny. And so I was like, okay. You just got to ask me twice.
Yes, right.
And so I go over to the co-pilot of this airplane, and I say, hey, man. And literally, we're in the air. I mean, I'm seeing, it's nighttime, but I'm seeing the sky. We're looking at, you know, we're in the air.
Yeah.
And I say to him, hey, buddy, this is going to sound really weird, but Chelsea said I should come over here and ask you to suck my dick. And I don't want you to do that, obviously. But it would be pretty hilarious if you just bobbed your head up and down and pretended like you were doing it.
Every girl laughs at that. Yeah, okay. All right. We'll pretend to bob our head. Go ahead.
And he looks at me and he goes, I'm flying an airplane. And I look at him and I go,
you're going to have to unzip my pants.
I look at him and I go, no, you're not. Your buddy's flying the plane.
Oh, shit.
You're not doing that much at the moment, it looks like. And he goes, fair enough. And he starts bobbing his head up and down and fake giving me a blowjob. And this is already like the worst moment of my life. And made only worse by I then look back and no one's
nobody's even looking.
No one's paying attention anymore. I literally am getting a fake blowjob for no reason. No one's even paying attention. So I sit back down and we're drinking more and more time passes. We get a little more buzzed and Chelsea just turns to me and goes, Ben, you're a weak Jew. I go, excuse me?
Oh. Chelsea's Jewish?
She is Jewish.
Okay. So she can say that?
Yeah. I think she's Jewish. At least half Jewish. No, she's Jewish. I'm pretty sure she's
I
Jewish.
Think she is, I think right? she's Jewish. Yeah.
Sure. Handler, classic Jewish name.
Yeah. I don't know.
Handler.
I mentioned I'm close friends with Prince.
Cut to a clip. Yeah.
And so I said, excuse me. She goes, you're weak. You got no muscles. And I go, yeah, you want to fight? She goes, I'll fight. And we're on an airplane. We're sitting in the king and queen chair. And she gets up, comes over to me, and just punches me in the chest, like as hard as she can. Like, I lose breath. I'm like,
proving her point.
Yeah, I guess so. And then starts just wailing on me, like continuing to punch me. And so now I literally have to defend myself. So I stand up and face off with one of the most famous women in the world. And I'm not hitting her, but I have to like defend myself. So I'm like kind of like jabbing a little bit on her sides and blocking. Right. And I have to like grab her hands. And eventually I like subdue her arms and I like spin her around. And she's still trying to wriggle out and move and kick, and I have to take her, and I push her head down into the chair of the airplane, and I start spanking Chelsea Handler when she's sitting there, and she's still, like, has all this energy, and she's trying to get out. I'm like, I'm spanking her, I'm holding her down, I'm like, stop it, say you're done, admit I'm stronger than you. And she goes, I will not. I'm like, all right, keep going. I keep spanking her. Everybody's like, what is happening? And she eventually says, okay, you're stronger. And that's not enough for me. I now have a dominant position. And I said, admit I'm funnier.
Oh.
Say I'm funnier than you. And she goes, I'm not going to say that. And I'm like, okay, let's keep going. And she eventually says, you're funnier and you're stronger. And it's one of the few times I've seen her be like not like a dominant force. And we, airplane lands. We both sweat a bunch. It's like nuts. And we go to dinner before the show. We have a quick dinner at a restaurant table reserved for us in the area. And Chelsea, on top of what we drank, she orders one of every drink, every fancy cocktail on the menu. For the
little,
six of us to drink.
And taste test.
And she says, we're finishing these drinks before we go to the venue. and there's like 17 cocktails. And the other people didn't drink that much. I mean, they drank some, but Chelsea and I were doing a great majority of the drinking. And spanking. And we love playing ping pong, so we played some ping pong too before we get to, when we get to the venue. And I'm basically drunk. I wasn't like drunk, but I was like pretty buzzed. And we're just like hitting a ping pong ball backstage. And they say to me, "Ben, you're on." And she didn't have other openers. So this, it was me doing 30 minutes on this tour and then her doing an hour. And they're like, "You're on." I'm like, "What do you mean I'm on?" Like, "Oh my God." And I totally lost track of time and had to go up cold without even like getting my head in the zone or thinking about what jokes I was going to do. And pretty drunk, had to do 30 minutes at an arena in Philadelphia.
And how did it go?
Really well.
Okay. Really well.
Probably not my best.
All right.
But it went really well.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot of cocktails.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of drinking.
Correct.
I don't want to be your friend. You fucking tell all the bad stories. Like, you told the story about Dane Cook being a cheapskate when you saved his ass.
Anti-Semite Chelsea Handler.
About Chelsea Handler being an
anti-Semite. Yeah. Not anti-Semite. It's just shit talking.
Sure, she's Jewish.
Before a fight.
Yeah.
She's Jewish. I'm Googling it right now because...
That last story sounds like you could slide Bert in for Chelsea, and that story makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You know? Yes. We got to finish these all before we go.
He and I toured together back in the day, too. Yep. She's Jewish. Boom.
See, sweet. But the fact that you didn't know
that. Oh, we're not allowed to Google. That was one of the rules.
I'm not the contestant.
Oh. It's okay, just to see if she was
Jewish.
I'm not
the contestant.
No.
But it tells us that he said he was good friends with her, became really good friends, but you didn't know she was Jewish?
She's not practicing. I'm not practicing.
But don't y'all just know?
Like, we know as soon as we see each other.
That sounds anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
In her defense.
We smell it on each other? Is that what you're saying?
In her defense, when we first looked at each other, we both connected trailer park.
White trash.
Yeah, you can feel it sometimes. Yeah. It's a tax bracket. Yeah.
You can feel it.
Yeah. Almost white trash, not all the way.
Yeah, exactly.
His parents live in a trailer park, but they're hippies.
Yeah. I've definitely never touched six figures growing up. That's for sure. Single income, yeah.
Wow, that is crazy. That is two crazy stories. I mean...
Oh, another detail of that story.
Okay.
Is what?
No, double down. Go ahead.
Oh. Okay, but just so that we're clear before you get to that little detail, like, so when you're saying this whole Chelsea, you're saying the whole story is a lie. To me, it's like both stories could be plausible, but there's one little thing in each story that is the lie. Like the story about Dane Cook. To me, it's not that the lights went off. It's that you said about the ice cream. You know what I mean?
That's not the rules of the podcast.
I'm just...
One true story and one false story.
Okay, so then...
Are you familiar with this podcast?
No. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, then one of these stories, you're saying is completely false. The whole premise of it. Like, some people come in and tell a story that has happened, but they'll just change a detail of the story. So I'm asking you, like, is both your stories, like...
Like, the meat of the story has to be a lie, is what we always say.
See, we come in expecting people to loophole it like that, and he just came and did it correctly. And we come, like, prepared to hear it that way. Like, all right, these are both true stories, and there's one stupid hitch in one of them. And he's like, no, one story is completely false.
I'm not doing a stupid hitch. I mean, to write a good fake story, it has to be, there's a kernel, maybe, of truth. But it's 90, one of the stories is 95% false.
Damn, dude, he's so dialed in on this. So, like,
and
all the little details.
And you want to hear the other detail?
Okay.
Yeah.
So then a few days later, I'd go do an episode of Chelsea Lately on the round table, and I tell this story on the show. And Chelsea denies on the air that I beat her in this fight. She says, what are you talking about? I kicked your ass in this fight.
I would too.
She doesn't deny that.
She wanted you to get a Hummer from the co-pilot. She doesn't deny that part.
She wouldn't deny any of that.
Now I have to believe that part of the story.
And I'm like, bullshit. I kicked your ass on this flight. And I'm like, ask whatever her name was. I'm forgetting her name. The
makeup person.
Gina. And ask her during the commercial break. And then we'll tell you when we come back from commercial. And Gina comes out during the commercial break and says, Ben, I don't know what you're talking about. She kicked your ass on this plane.
Yeah. I mean, she's smart. That's the woman that's paying her bills.
So messed up.
Oh, you're sneaky. Sneaky little. Yeah. Sneaky little booger.
You have the most skeptical face.
I know, because I'm
is it hard
lying.
To be in relationships? Do your boyfriends think you're accusing them of lying all the time?
You're so bad at this game.
You literally look
You
like,
just have this way of like telling a story where it's just like, I don't know.
You just seem like a bullshitter.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's why I ran, that's why I ran for president.
I love that.
Like, you could be a used car salesman.
Yeah. Oh, it's, these insults get worse and worse. Huh?
Yeah.
No, but the way you sell your lie, like, yeah, this is a great car. You know, and you would tell me all the bells and whistles, and then I'd get in, and none of the shit would work. I'd get it home, or it would all work until I got home.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about, but I do know this. No one's ever died in this car. What's it going to take to get you in one? What's it going to take to get you in one?
That's the look. Yeah.
Come on,
that's
Jess, we want to see an IKEA. We do.
Yeah. You know?
Can I tell a Chelsea Handler story really quick? Is I, when I about 15 years ago, dated a gentleman that knew her as a friend and had lent her money when she was going through a rough patch. And then after she made all her money, out of the blue, she totally paid him back. And
that's what's up.
That was classy of her. So
yeah.
That's very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
No, she's cool about stuff like that.
Yeah, she's very. That was very cool of her.
She's cool about stuff like that.
I'll get you back for that Chinese food last night.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's funny. We're both sitting here like, I'm like, oh, shit, I got to. It's like, great. If I ever make it, I got a big thing I got to do for Felicia now. No, she's
nice
planting seeds all over like that. You know?
I have another story about something like that. I'll tell you if I ever come on again.
Okay. Well, any specific questions before we go to the recap?
I think I need to hear the recap.
Okay. All right.
I mean, we could, let's get into a recap. So in his first story, is in 2010. He's opening for Dane Cook. He was doing this for a while. This is every night for like 6 weeks. He's in the round. This is Dane at the peak of his shit on a tour bus. They're in Toronto at the Air Canada Center. Ben's got 15-minute sets. It's all killer. All is well. Good stuff. 15 minutes into Dane. Oh,
that part's true regardless.
Yeah, his set went good.
That's 5%
this. Yeah.
Yeah. 15 minutes into Dane's
5%
set.
Of my set went well.
15 minutes into Dane's set, the power goes out and the mic goes out too. And for a few minutes with no mic, Ben just comes up there. Dane and him are trying to entertain an arena with no microphones, 12,000 people. Dane decides to just bail, and Ben has them light the stage up with their phones and says something about tipping because the tickets weren't expensive enough, and they start to throw Canadian coins. And he says he'll buy ice cream for whoever meets him over there after the show, and assuming nobody will show up, and even if they do, Dane will probably cover it. And the power comes back on, and Ben reminds him about the ice cream before the end of his set, and at the end, or at the meet and greet, Ben mentions it to Dane, and he's like, I'm not fucking covering the ice cream. And 1,600 people show up for ice cream. There's 500 scoops left at the shop. They get the little wooden stick school cups from, like, a nearby market, which I noticed you use the word market for store. And I, like, oh, we're going to go out to the market. Nobody's
that bothered you?
No, that happened in my house. My mom said that. And so I'll use the word market. Everybody's like, the market?
And several markets.
Yeah. Yeah. What? So... is that like
that
a...
just trigger you, Michael?
I'm like, I've just never heard anybody else.
You ever heard of anybody else use the word market?
I mean, besides my mother.
Have you ever had conversations with people? Were you homeschooled? Just your first day
conversations. Yeah, wow. Yeah. We're in single digits.
Fair enough.
All right. It ends up costing like $2,200 for all this ice cream, but he met his girlfriend that night and they dated for like a year.
Wow.
So who went to the market?
One of the...
Little piggies?
I was going to say.
I know.
Got you a paperclip.
One of the tour people. On the tour, you get, there's an entire production support bus that follows the main tour bus. So we're traveling with two buses everywhere.
Wow. Yeah. So one always goes with you, like wherever you go?
No. It just follows the main bus.
Well, so was Dane there at the ice cream shop?
Yeah, Dane came, hung out.
He did? Mm-hmm. Did he eat some of your ice cream?
He ate ice cream, yeah.
Interesting.
And he never paid for it.
I don't think he paid for that scoop either.
Son of a bitch.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, I can totally buy that you opened for Dane 100% because you referenced the right people who opened for him at that time. And but then why didn't you just say, fuck it, I'm not going to the ice cream shop and leave if you were worried about how much it was going to cost?
It's called being a man of your word, Felicia. You would
know
that because you're not a man.
Ben. Yeah. You're a comedian.
You've got to be an opener of your
There's
word,
no
you know?
No, this
people
is where
any word
this probably is where I'm apparently different than a lot of comedians, but I also ran for office. I tried to. I care about helping people.
You got
and I care
a co-pilot
about,
to pretend to give you a blowjob.
Well, that's
at.
Why I didn't win the presidency.
He was in the round, but where were? Say, where were you when the lights
question.
Went out?
Yeah, good question.
Just in the wings, like under in like the tunnel, basically.
Yeah. So how do you get to the round? Is there a tunnel underneath the round?
There's just it's like spokes of a wheel. There's four. Entryways on each side. So, uh-huh. And even when you're in the round, there's still aisles.
Uh-huh.
And there's aisles that go up into the audience, and there's aisles that go into the sides too. So, like at the end of the normal shows, we would do a musical encore together, and then often it would end in a standing ovation, almost always, really. And we would be, me and Al and Jay Chris would be escorted with security through the audience up the aisle to the side to go sell merch. And then Dane would be taken down into the rafters to wait uh-huh. for his meet and greet. And but we would come from the
So even in an arena, he had his opener selling merch, or you guys were selling your own merch?
No, we were selling our own merch.
Oh, okay.
We were selling our own merch.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was like, man, he really is cheap, man.
Yeah. No,
before you go pay for all those people's ice cream, I got some baby teas that need to be moved.
He had plenty of people selling his merch in those arenas.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, that's why I'm saying, if you were, was there any of the other openers that were in the wings? Why did you feel like you had to run up there? Why
I'm
didn't
a crazy
they?
Person. Because J. Chris Newberg's a shy person. Aldo Benny's not going to ruffle any feathers. I just do stupid things. Often I say too much. I kind of tend to do the extra thing. I don't know why.
That's the hard part for me, because I know I would never approach the stage uninvited like that. I would never do
You're
that.
You're not supposed to do that, but I'm a crazy person. I also chimed in recently here, not recently, I guess about pre-pandemic. Seems all the elders went away, but like I chimed in during, stupidly, but ended up being fine, but during Chappelle's set in the Belly Room.
Whew.
And ended up going back and forth for like 15 minutes with Chappelle during his set in the Belly Room.
Yeah, but there's a difference between chiming in the Belly Room when everyone's fucking around up there anyway, and in a theater thing when there's...
Well, I can tell you this. Yeah. There's two other times that I joined Dane on stage without being invited. And...
You didn't learn your lesson?
No. No. Okay. Two other times. One time he was having a set at the Hollywood Improv at Comedy Juice, and it was just, I mean, he's a brilliant comic and most of his sets go great, but this particular night it was just, he was trying a bunch of new stuff and it was not going so great, and he was having sort of like a meltdown on stage. He'd taken like the Comedy Juice banner off the wall and wrapped it around himself, and he had his eyes closed at one point, just like riffing and like saying all this crazy shit. And when his eyes were closed, I just went up and sat at the piano. So when he opened his eyes back up, I was just on stage with him. And he looked over and he was like, oh, so that's happening now? Okay. And we like riffed together for like a long time. And I kept saying, and this was like earlier in our friendship, and I kept saying I can play the piano really well, but I'm like stalling forever to play the piano. And then eventually he's like, so play the fucking piano already. And I'm like, I don't play the piano. And he takes his glass and he threw it at the brick wall and it shatters. And right then I'm like, dun 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 dun. And he wasn't mad about that one, but he was mad about the other time when I joined him on stage. So this is a tour after the Dane Cook Live Arena tour. He was playing a theater and I was the solo opener for him. And we would play ping pong before every or after every show. And during it, he came back out for an encore. It's a Q&A. And Dane loves scaring people. He would always like hide like in the hallway in the hotel and like pop out and scare me up for 5 minutes and film it and stuff. And so I decided to do that to him one time and scare him during his own show on stage at an arena. And he goes back, or not arena, the theater, and he's on stage taking questions. And I figured I wouldn't interrupt him during his set like that, but during something weird or something off kilter or during casual questions, I felt like it's a different thing. I'm not interrupting his performance. And I snuck up behind him while he's answering a question, and he looks back and does not get scared.
He
gets pissed. He's like, oh, is that what's happening? We're going to have a talk after the show.
Oh, I'm scared just hearing that.
Yeah.
Even now, way after the fact, I'm like, we are in trouble.
It was pretty intense. And I've never admitted this publicly, but I'm really good at ping pong, and Dane almost never had beaten me that one game after that show, I let him beat me in ping pong because I needed to
Are
calm him down.
Are you still friends with Dane?
We're still cool. Okay. Not as close as we used to be. We're
yeah,
still,
yeah, because annoying. Cool. Every time you turn around, you're on fucking stage.
Yeah, cool means like you won't choke him out if he sees him, but they're not like buddies.
Please, no, we're fine. Please, please keep in mind this is hundreds of shows that we've played together. So this is 3 out of 100.
A little bit of a rapport.
Yes,
that's.
I mean, he was one of my closest friends in the world. Like we hung out constantly. I felt very comfortable with him. Probably shouldn't have done those things. But
when I was new,
I was helping.
I got a host weekend.
Two of those three
at the Comedy Underground. I was hosting in Seattle for Fahim Anwar. Long before I moved here, Fahim had come from here. He's headlining, and it's funny looking back. I don't know them to be friends now that I've gotten here, but like he brought Lenoci to feature. And one time during Fahim's headliner set, Mike Lenoci comes up to me. He's like, "Have you ever heard Fahim's bit about this and that?" I was like, "No." He's like, "Oh, it's great. You got to hear it." And he just walks up. Back of the room, and just during Fahim's set, he's headlining full room. He's just like, "Hey, yo, Fahim," and he's like, "What?" And he's like, "Do the whatever bit," and he just does it, and it kills, and it all went smooth from there. I'm like, that must be something that's like, I'm new. I don't know that that's normal. Yeah. You can do. And then even now, I've gotten to this point. I'm like, no, that was fucking insane.
Yeah.
He just went and interrupted him and stopped him.
But like, I wouldn't care if any friend of mine that's a good friend shouted something out during my set. Like, you should be able to flow as long as like, not right before your closer or something. You should be fine.
Yeah.
I don't know, in an arena, that's a different thing.
But like, when shit's going awry, it's not
I mean...
That's the time I thought I was helping.
Yeah. That time with Joey Diaz, when the lights went out and
that's a lie. We all know that.
Yeah.
The time that the fire alarm went off?
The fire alarm went off, too, and I had to end the...
Oh, now there's a fire alarm.
No.
You didn't mention that.
And so Joey's, like, saying to the opener, like, "Get out there, dog! Like, go do it." And the guy couldn't do it. So I had to go out and just start screaming at the audience. And then the lights came on. So, like, I get, you know... I don't know. Yeah, Let's move on.
Let me just say one more thing, too. Like, improv is a huge part of what I do, and Dane knows that. So, like, he would let me do crowd work in my sets on that tour.
Uh-huh.
Like, Jimmy Brogan always said, you can't do crowd work in a venue bigger than 1,500 people. I don't find that to be true at all. I was doing crowd work to 12,000 people. And so, in an instant, I mean, Dane is pretty good at improv. He is very good at it. But that wasn't what his vibe was that moment. He was kind of thrown off, and I just thought I could help. And I did help. I think I did help.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the second story, Michael.
It's going
to
be, I mean, like this, it feels like based on how much details in this that it seems like they're both so similar in terms of how stacked they are.
Uh-huh.
Story number two.
Because they're both lies.
They are both lies. Story number two, in 2014, this is when Ben is doing Chelsea Lately a lot. Chelsea flies private to her shows and she asked Ben to do a few dates and they're headed to Philly on the private jet. There's maybe 6 people in there. There's Chelsea, Ben, makeup artist friend, somebody from Live Nation, and a fucking Dutch guy with an accent.
And plus the two pilots.
And the two pilots, those guys end up important to the story. Chelsea pours herself a glass of vodka, no mixer, which we're calling a martini now.
I think it's just called vodka.
Yeah, I mean, like, no vermouth, no olive, no nothing, no shaped glass.
There is a little lemon wedge on the...
A lemon wedge.
Just for kind of
this
appearances.
This is vodka in a glass.
Yeah.
No mixer. Ben matches the drink. He goes, "I'll have the same fucking thing." She turns to Ben and says, "Why don't you go see if the co-pilot will suck your dick? It'll be funny." So he goes up there and he goes, hey buddy, this is going to sound pretty weird, but Chelsea wants me to come see if you'll suck my dick. I don't actually want you to, but if you bobbed your head up and down, that'd sure be funny." And he's like, "Dude, I am flying a plane right now." And Ben goes, "No, you're actually not." And he said, "Yeah, that's true." So the guy plays along and nobody's even watching. He decides to do the head bob thing. And then he goes back to the cabin where Chelsea just lets him know, "Hey, Ben, you're a weak Jew." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, you want to fight about that?" And she comes over and punches him right in the chest, kind of knocks the wind out of him. And she continues to punch sort of playfully. But Ben stands up and squares off and kind of wrangles her. And he's got her face down in a chair. He's spanking her, says, "I'm stronger. Say it." And she says it. And then he says, "Say I'm funnier." She's like, "I'm not saying it." And eventually she says it. The airplane lands. They're sweating. They're having dinner before the show. And Chelsea has more to drink. She has like one. She orders like one of every fancy cocktail on the menu. And there's like 17 cocktails. She's like, "We got to finish this before the show." And nobody else is really drinking besides her and Ben. They play some ping pong. They did the show. Oh, no. They're playing ping pong. And then just suddenly, Ben, you're on. Unexpectedly, Ben, you're on stage. He's not really ready for it. But he goes up disheveled, and then he goes really well. They're doing Chelsea Lately a few days later, and she denies losing that little fight on the plane and asks Gina during... Or she's like, "Ask Gina during commercial." Gina comes out during the commercial break and also lies for Chelsea.
You don't miss any details. It's really
yeah, I know. He almost retells the story.
Yeah. Let's have some real tell.
Just want to recap. Yeah.
Can I recap his recap?
Hey.
So I'm on an airplane.
Yeah, yeah. We went through this phase last time. It's like we've been back for a few episodes. I'll dial in the recap soon. That is just a brutal retelling.
Why don't you just play back me telling it?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's turn on really quick. Yeah. Let's cut to a clip. Cool. All right.
I just can't imagine that you would throw Chelsea under the bus by saying go say, especially in today's atmosphere, go.
I don't know. It sounds like somebody yeah. that's best friends with Dane Cook that they would do.
I just God, that's so
it is
that's
crazy.
So hard. How many times did you spank Chelsea? Like how many times did you actually physically hit her though? That's a thing that I know it wasn't.
Spanking and hitting are different things.
Are they though?
Yeah.
Ben, are they?
Sure.
Yeah, like hit the table. How hard do you hit your hand?
Well,
how
table's
hard?
Gonna sound too loud. I'm gonna hit your shoulder. Can I?
Yeah.
Okay. I have permission.
Yeah. Permission. That's a
but
fine
you're
hit.
Holding her head down.
That what? You're holding her head down in the
not
seat.
Her
I
head
mean,
and or like her back at different.
So
points.
You have Chelsea. You're telling us you had Chelsea Handler
bent over
with her head in a seat, and you were spanking her. That's what you're telling us.
Yeah.
Okay. And she's paying for the plane that you're on.
They've had a lot of vodka. They were making martinis.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's still
kind of. We had a pretty special relationship.
There's an important fact there because he's still a little hurt that he went and did the whole dick suck thing.
And that no one gave him attention when he
gave
did
any
it.
Shit yeah. about it. So yeah, now he's putting it, you know.
What a shame, too. That is funny.
I had to prove my manhood after having it stripped away earlier.
Wow. This makes me just believe that. Brad Pitt did hurt one of the children on the plane. if you got away with that, Brad Pitt got away with something like that. That's so crazy, though. That you had her head in the seat, bent over, smacking her in the butt.
It's funny. That's like, crazy. He's like, dude, I'm flying a plane right now. And he's like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you're right. I'm not.
Because if I was that pilot, I would raise my hand and go one time. I would go right to the tabloids and get money because that's crazy.
Yeah, maybe they don't. They're not, probably there's got to be some kind of discretion with these private jet pilots because
there's got to be NDA
they have
stuff. Yeah.
Crazy
yeah.
shit all the time happening.
Yeah.
On
that's probably true, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, we're drinking openly, the cockpit's open. I'm trying to remember if I smoked weed on the plane at all. I don't think I did. I tried to, maybe I tried in the bathroom once, but I thought it was not a good idea. There was like no smoking signs. I'm like, I don't want the plane to like have alarms go off and shit.
To Ricky Nelson it. all right. Any questions?
Yeah. Also,
before?
One time on we almost got the one of the private jet flights. It almost crashed. Felt like we almost crashed.
Yeah.
We were landing, and. Like, we're up, almost at the ground. We're, like, very close to the ground. And all of a sudden, the plane goes, and a wing just dips all the way down. And Chelsea screamed. Everybody's, I don't think I screamed, but it was very scary. And we land, like, 5 seconds later, like, it corrects, and we land. And she's like, what the hell was that? The guy's like, oh, sorry, it was a rocky landing or whatever. And nothing ever was made of it after that. But
yeah.
It was that was maybe one of the scariest moments of my life.
I'll tell you, I opened for Howie Mandel, and we were on the plane, and my ex-husband at the time made a joke to Howie about don't, because Howie's a big prankster, don't make jokes about flying, because Felicia has a very, she's afraid
anxious.
Of flying. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm very anxious about flying. And then they came, I met them in Wisconsin, and they came on a private plane, and the pilot looked like he was about 12, and Howie made him put an eye patch on, and then he would do all these kind of hijinks, you know. So
he
yeah.
really that's
yeah
hilarious.
He would do crazy shit
that
like that
true.
Yeah that story
well,
is
well then
100%.
That's why people wow, should fuck crazy. With him in his OCD then.
Right
yeah,
true, yeah.
But guess
that.
What and then he would be like okay it's my turn to fly the plane and then one of the pilots would get up to and but it was all pretend but guess what fucking plane that was. That's that plane that Payne Stewart, the golfer, died on.
The same plane?
It's the same fucking
Whoa.
Plane.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, I was on the plane that
so
ended
fuck
up.
Fuck you for putting her head in the seat and spanking Chelsea.
You're welcome. And yeah, I was on the plane that ended up being TWA Flight 800 that blew up 1 week later after I was on it.
Oh, wow.
Crazy. Yeah. And another similar one, one time I was flying to a college gig in this very snowy, there was like a snowy airport we had to land in to get to this like remote college. And it was a tiny plane. It was a commercial flight, but a tiny little plane. Sometimes like the last leg will be like a tiny little plane. It probably would have held 20, 25 people, like a puddle jumper. But I was the only person on the plane. So much so that the pilots literally said to me, can you sit in the back middle to balance the weight?
Yeah.
And so I do that.
Yeah.
And
I believe that.
It's the most turbulent flight in the world. It was horrible. And it's going up over like snowy Rocky Mountains. And we're going up and down, crazy turbulence. And mid that, a fucking alarm goes off in the cabin. Mm-hmm. Literally, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die. What is happening? And then the pilot comes on thing. He goes, oops. And I'm like, oops, what does that mean? Why would he say, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And I'm scared for 40 minutes, and I land, and the pilot, and I was like, I'm talking to the pilot because there's nobody else on the plane. And I go, what happened? And he goes, I was just fucking with you, man. Like Chelsea fucks with you on the round table.
Literally, oh, shut was, up, Ben. That's not
on
true.
On my life. On my life. On my life, the guy was a fan of the show, knew me from the round table, and thought he could fuck with me because he knows I'm good at taking shit from people. And I was like, dude, that's a show. It's a you made me think I was going to die. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's...
But then I relaxed and took a photo with him. But I swear to God, he said that.
All right, any questions about that second story?
Whoa.
Any questions?
I think I'm ready.
Okay. God, it's so hard.
It's hard because he really tried to sell that first story, like with the recap. He was like overselling it, you know?
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if that was because it was true or if it was because it's a lie. And then, but with the Chelsea story, he kind of deflected and went to like other stories instead of, you know, really trying to. Is that because it's true though, or I don't know, or is it a lie?
No, let's go to.
But
clip.
I think I have an.
I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say that Chelsea story is because I do think I remember a story about ice cream. I could be so full of shit. with you, there's a story with you with ice cream that I think I heard once, but it might be someone else. But I just can't believe you would out in this atmosphere, Chelsea Handler saying go get a blowjob, even whether it was true or not. But I don't think you would out her saying that because that could really backfire tremendously.
I think I'm gonna agree with you that the Chelsea story is a lie, but I'm still sticking to the you didn't know she was Jewish, but you were good friends. I don't believe that. You if you can spank a girl, you know if she's Jewish.
Yeah. Okay. I say yeah. I just go along with it. Yeah. Wait. I'm not agreeing with that.
If you can say if she says to you, you're a weak Jew.
Yeah.
She's Jewish. Hopeful.
Right. Yeah. Like you know then, and he should know. Yeah. She knew. Then he should know.
Yeah. And if you were that good friends with her at that point.
Yeah. That's why. That's
yeah. You would know. I think. I think you're right. Yeah.
Do you vote also?
I mean, it's like, here's what's going to happen. Is whatever way I vote, the truth, it'll be the other way. It's like, no matter how sure I fucking feel at the end of this, I'm always wrong, is basically what happens. It's details like that they played ping pong before the show, or like stuff like, he has details that you could use to ride on for that, be like, this is why I'm picking this story. But he's got them in both. And he's down to spin a yarn and add 10 details about any detail I mention. It'll take me right down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, and personally, I think they generally both pretty much happen. But I think the there's certain, you know, like he did open for Chelsea, I'm sure. He probably was on a private plane, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stick with my thing. What do you think, Tony?
You're with us.
He's with us.
So, right. Mike, what is it?
Fuck. I mean, so you guys think that Dane that he bought $2,200 worth of ice cream with Dane?
Yeah,
I do. I think Dane is very generous, but I think also Dane was like, you know, you've tortured me, bitch. Now you're being tortured.
Well, because you think about it, he was already probably mad that the lights went out. One,
he's grumpy. And then, he's already pissed at everything with the venue.
I guess Dane knows he's probably paying him well enough to do that. I mean, like, I would just have to quit comedy and disappear right there off tour. I would have to just be like,
the three of us together would.
I can't pick up the bill on this. I don't have the money. Okay. I guess that. You know what? I'm gonna try saying that the Dane Cook story's fake.
Ooh, okay.
Look how fake you are.
I know. I'm trying to be confident here. But I mean, like, I hate to do the for the sake of being the only one, but it's like I'm not.
Well, vote with your heart. Don't vote with your
statistics.
Why is he trying to tell him that? Why are you telling him that though? What does that mean?
We have a relationship outside of this. Yeah. We thought. What do I honestly think? I think that the stuff that sounds all doofy that happened on the plane that sounds like too much with Chelsea is like stuff that would, if you're friends with somebody, you're on their show all the time and you guys both just chugged a glass of vodka, could totally happen.
Yeah, I agree
with that part, but I don't know if are you still friendly with Chelsea?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if you were friendly with someone, if you would throw someone under the bus in this atmosphere like that. Because I think
under
they
the
would,
plane.
Yeah, I think that people would go hard on her.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I think the Chelsea story is true.
Okay. You're sticking with it then. Okay.
All right, Ben Glebe, which story is the lie?
The lie is the story about Prince. Felicia, great job earlier. Very believable. Very believable.
Okay.
The lie is the Dane Cook story.
No.
You spanked Chelsea.
Correct.
And you had to look up if she was Jewish.
You asked a co-pilot to pretend to give you a Hummer.
Correct. And there's nothing in this climate that's weird about that. It's a guy giving another guy a fake Hummer. Nothing weird about that in this climate.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, if there's nothing weird about that, Ben, give Michael a fake Hummer. Yeah. There's nothing weird about that.
Because there's nothing that's going to ruin a career about it. Doesn't mean I'm eagerly signing up, Felicia. You know what I mean?
Yes! It feels so good to win. I never win.
I can't believe that.
Well done, Michael.
Because I'm with you, too. I felt like there was an ice cream story I'd heard about.
Yeah.
And I wonder who it was then.
I mean, I do buy ice cream. I've bought ice cream several times for my crowds. But not an arena. Not an arena. What's that?
Your ex-girlfriend?
No. No girlfriend.
Did you ever open for Dane?
I've never met Dane Cook.
No,
I'm kidding. I did open for Dane.
Okay.
I did open for Dane.
Okay, fuck that.
I did open.
Get out of here, a winner. Now I look stupid. He likes to scare people. How juicy is that detail?
I did open for Dane on that tour, and I did know that Chelsea's Jewish.
Okay.
So that was a little lie within
That's
the truth?
No, no, no. Lies. You're playing the game. I don't need to tell you if I know about her religious background. That's not a fact of a story. You're asking me about knowledge
I had
prior.
It is. This is how I play the game. I know that you won't spank somebody and you don't know if they're Jewish.
And
she called you a weak Jew? I'm calling bullshit.
I told you that I believed she was Jewish. I just kind of hemmed a little bit. That's how I can misdirect it a little bit. I didn't say an opposite fact of what I knew. I said, she's Jewish. I'm pretty sure she's Jewish. And I believe that to be true. I think she might even be half Jewish. So I'm not positive even still to this day. But half Jewish counts.
Yeah. I don't trust anything he says now.
I know. I know.
Let's roll that beautiful bean footage.
Wow. Well, you really gave us a run for the money here, Ben. Thank you so much for coming on the show and throwing Chelsea Handler under the
bus. I did not throw her under the bus. You phrasing it that way, you framing it like that is the only way. What is under the bus about it? Is anybody surprised that Chelsea Handler says crazy shit when she's drunk and challenges people to do weird things?
No, but I'm surprised that you would say, I'm just surprised.
Why?
Because of the today's atmosphere and, you know.
Well, I don't know what's bad about that. A and B, that took place in a different atmosphere.
Okay.
This was 8 years ago.
That's like what every abuser says, man. This is about today. It's not about what happened yesterday.
Listen, Ben, we're putting you in a bad category after that. Yeah.
Wow, but you were awesome at this game.
That's
really
good, awesome.
I couldn't even look you in the eye because I was like, he is just lying all over the place, which you did.
Both stories are lies.
Yeah, where can people find you and give information about your special that you have on YouTube that you did at Helium in Philly? Anything else? Where can people find you?
Yeah, please check out that special. It's called The Mad King. It's on YouTube. And just search for it or Glebe Special. It'll come right up. And please share it and leave comments if you like it. And follow me at Ben Glebe, GLEIB, on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. My link in bio and all of those has links to my website, benglebe.com, and to my virtual show I do once a month. You can come be there live with me with your cameras on and hang out and be part of this weird virtual town.
And I'll buy you all ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
You will all get ice cream every single time. And the mimed blowjobs will never stop.
Okay.
And check out the videos I'm doing for TYT, Rebel HQ. I do 3 videos a week, and those links are also in my bio on all my socials. And I do a lot of videos on my social media 3-4 times a week of stand-up and other things. So you'll get some free laughter if you want to check that out. Okay. And also, I'm Prince.
Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. Michael,
he's not dead.
He's not dead. Yeah. He's in your pocket.
I'm him.
Michael Evans, LOL, on Instagram. Hey, guys, just had a clip get 1,000 likes for the first time ever. I've never had anything get 1,000 likes.
For you.
Nice. Yeah, so we're cooking, baby. Yeah, come follow my Instagram.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm putting bits up there.
Good for you, Michael. That's right. And Jessica?
At Jess Wellington 2 across the board. I'll be in Vegas next the 17th of November. And then we're going to do a VA show at the Post 43. It's December 2nd. The more details coming out. Just follow my social media and all that, and I'll have that info.
Wait,
Just
real Wellington quickly before too. You say your plugs, I don't want to say mine. I forgot an important one. I always forget on podcast to plug my podcast, but maybe people listen to them if they're on a podcast now. Last Week on Earth, I summarize the world every week when I do it, so please subscribe to that as
wonderful,
well.
Wonderful, wonderful. You can follow me all across the board at Felicia Michaels. I will be performing at the New York Comedy Festival at the first week of November. January, I can't even remember, November. And also opening for Joey Diaz at the Soho Hall, or no, Sony Hall. I can't even get any of the words at Soho, but it's not in Soho, Sony Hall.
It's going to be a lot of spanking.
It's going to be a lot of spanking. I'm going to push his to a fucking chair and
honestly,
spank it.
I cannot believe you just made that joke in this climate.
Jesus. But Jessica.
Banking a man, how dare you?
And you have been lied to.
A lot.
I'm fucking done.
Thank you.
Good time.
Great job.